are some topics that are difficult to discuss. And I am not just picking the most outlandish topics so that we can, you know, be the hot button issue church. God has led me to this topic tonight, and it is one that, well, frankly, it's a little bit daunting, a little bit scary. It's difficult to preach. But I did have a pastor when I was growing up who said that if something couldn't be preached in the church, then where could it be preached? It needs to be talked about in the church, that to be put into the right perspective. Also, he said that he liked to reduce his counseling by counseling from the pulpit. And then less people need to come and counsel one-on-one. That's not true, by the way. But it is good if we have a foundation of understanding from the Bible. This evening, this message is for everyone, although it may hit a few much more hard. It may knock a few of us around quite a bit. And it's titled this, Why Look on a Maid? So now everyone is like, oh, this is a bit, where are we going with this? Okay, going to Job chapter 31 and verse 1. After we read this verse, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we will continue on. Job chapter 31 and verse 1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask for your blessing this evening. We ask that your word would be clear and that our hearts would be clear before you. Father, we ask that each one of us would renew a desire to be holy before you and to not be distracted or tripped up in sin. Father, we do pray for other churches of like faith all around this country who are preaching your word, and we ask your blessing upon them. We do think of Brother Buddy down in Townsville, and we pray for him and as he preaches and opens the word this evening. Father, we pray for the Talbots and for Mrs. Talbot as her surgery is probably happened this afternoon. We ask that you'd be with them this day. And Lord, we ask that you would give us hearts that are focused on you. In your precious Son's name, amen. All right, so we've already opened the can of worms. Job cries out as his defense. I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Why then should I look upon a maid? Job realized well before this time when he went through this trouble that there was something that trips up most men. And it is thinking about girls, to put it simply. I don't know if the girls get tripped up as much with that, but I'm sure it is a stumbling block for many of you as well. You think about someone that is not your own, and you desire them, whether it is because of their looks or because of their position or money. You idolize someone other than your spouse, and then you destroy yourself. Jesus also points us to this fact. And we can go there in Matthew chapter 5, and we will in just a moment. But before we do, I want us to see this is a timeless truth that we need to guard our hearts. And this is not something that occurs outside of us or that someone else needs to worry about. Each one of us must take care. You say, oh, but I'm getting too old. Or I have a loving relationship with my spouse. Being unfaithful, especially in your heart and in your mind, is something that can occur to any of us at any moment. And if you think you're too old, just remember, Abraham was over 90 when he found his second wife. He was over 100. He was over 128, to be clear, when he found his second wife. So it's not beyond the realm of possibility, no matter what age you get to, and no matter what station of life you have attained. Job, in his relationship to God, did not want to offend with his thoughts. And so he put a guard, he made a covenant with his eyes. I read a few commentaries on this, and they said some interesting things about what would a covenant with your eyes look like. A covenant in those days was made by cutting an animal in half or by making a sacrifice. What would a sacrifice of your eyes look like? I don't know. I couldn't figure out either. But Job had made it very serious. It wasn't just a passing thought, I should protect myself and protect my thinking. But he made a covenant between him and God and between his eyes that he would not think upon a maid. If we go back now to Matthew chapter 5, I've already mentioned this. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. We'll start in verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said of them in old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. God said, don't commit adultery. Then God said, through Jesus here, don't even think about it. Because if you have thought upon a woman, you've already committed adultery in your heart. That's a very high standard. It's one that none of us can meet. None of us can say we have lived perfectly in our action and in our thoughts. None of us. Here we see Jesus making it very clear that no one has kept God's law. You say, oh, but adultery is a small matter. We don't have to go very far. You can probably go down any street of any town, and you will find someone or other who is caught up and whose lives are being destroyed by adultery. And we don't have to go that far to find someone whose heart has been destroyed by what they have thought, what they have looked upon. I read a few articles saying that in the Western world, most of the men have watched porn. Most have. In fact, this was only 5 years ago, 6 years ago now. The study said that over 90% of men had, at one point or other, looked at naughty pictures and videos and spent much time on it. And it also took into account women and said that a quarter of women were involved in this as well, the perusing of illicit material, material designed to cause lust and desire. It is a widespread thing. I'm not sure about the veracity of that study. It did have a very small sample size. But the chances are someone in this room has been affected by the easy access. We must make a covenant with our heart, because there is nowhere in this world that you can go that someone is not trying to grab your heart and cause you to desire things that you have no business desiring. Even lingerie ads and things like that. Harmless stuff, right? But it's meant to play upon desire. Things like that might be anywhere. billboards on the side of the road down to Cairns or whatever, you can find something that is drawing on your heartstrings, that's trying to trip you up. We need to be very, very, very careful. We need to repent of this sin because, as Jesus said, it is the same as adultery. It's the same. Those of us with spouses would think that it's a horrible thing to commit adultery. It's not only a sin against our own bodies, but it is breaking the trust and the relationship that we have worked so hard to build. It does such great damage, and we would say, oh, we would never do that. Yet, we're casual about what we allow ourselves to see, allow ourselves to think upon. I don't know about you, but I've got a phone. And phones have access to everything. It's impossible to watch YouTube without seeing ads. And some of those ads are not good. It's impossible to scroll through a website without having pop-ups or ads on the sidebar. And they're not always wholesome. We are exposed to the world and its system over and over and over again. We must have something, some guards in place to protect. Young people, you may think, well, I haven't met my husband or wife yet. Surely I'm free. And the answer comes back, no. You're not free, because if you are dabbling with someone else, or if your mind and heart is taken by someone online, then you are defrauding the person that God has for you. You are stealing that time, relationship, and all of those tender moments that will come when you are married. We do have to be careful here not to go puritanical on this. Too many churches put such high restrictions on everything that then once marriage happens, people don't know what to do. Okay, the marriage bed is undefiled. It is where we are supposed to desire one another. That's where it's supposed to occur. That is not for others. It is not for us outside of that time and that place. But it does exist then. We need to be open with our spouses. We need to be careful to guard our hearts until we meet the person that God has for us. Jesus said, I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman hath committed adultery already in his heart. And then he comes to the next verse, and sometimes we separate these two, but if you notice, he says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Jesus is saying that if you have a problem with what you are watching, you might need to take drastic action. I am not recommending pulling your eye out of its socket. Takes a lot of effort to put it back in, and it's not even possible often for the doctors to make it all work again. This is saying we need to take drastic action to make sure that we do not fall. We each know where our temptations come and where our thoughts are most easily turned, and we need to take care and block it out. Maybe for you it's the TV. Well, maybe you need to find a way that it gets turned off. That there are times when it is not on. Maybe you need accountability with someone who can check up on you and say, how are you going with this? Maybe you need to throw the TV off a bridge. I don't know. No, I'm saying we need to take drastic action. Be ready to not do a minimum, but to do the maximum to protect yourself. Because this isn't you protecting yourself so you look good at church. This is you protecting yourself because God cares. about us being single-hearted with our spouse. He wants us to have a union that is unbroken and unbreakable. I've heard many illustrations that when breakups happen, it is not just that two halves have come apart, but it is two halves that have been glued together coming apart. They don't break cleanly. You always tear both sides of the wood when you rip them apart. It destroys so much, and it is hard to bring wood that has been split like that back together again. We need to be ready to take drastic action so that our whole body be not cast into hell. This is a very serious sin, and it is one that affects many of us. Now let us go to Proverbs chapter 6. Psalms, Proverbs chapter 6. And there are so many verses in Proverbs we could go to. I do recommend reading through Proverbs. It has much wisdom for everyone all the time. We don't have time to go to all the passages that talk about the strange woman in Proverbs. We don't have time. But we're going to go now to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 25. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of an whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. The world is not a friend to grace. The world doesn't want us to live righteously and godly in this present world. And there are many unsaved people who would love nothing better than to destroy you and your testimony. There are so many people who would love to make merchandise of you and rob all of your time, all of your effort, and all of your money if they could get a hold of it. And we could go over example after example of this happening. This isn't theoretical. This is what occurs. People's fortunes are destroyed when they go after the easy lusts and desires, and they do not protect themselves. The writer of Proverbs says, "Lust not." It's a small command. And if we go back one verse, he says, "Keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman." This is, we need to protect ourselves on many fronts. You say, well, I don't look at dirty pictures, but I listen to or read things that are meant to draw my lust up, to make me have thoughts and feelings that should be reserved only for my spouse. That's just as evil. It's just as evil. If it is something that might draw your lust up, it is something that might destroy your relationship with your husband or wife. We see in this passage a guard that we must go to in verse 23. And I kind of worked backwards through this because we see first the command, keep yourself. Then we saw a keep not listen to the tongue of the strange woman. But now we see in verse 23, the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life to keep thee from evil and the flattery of the strange woman. It is God's word, and it is people coming to you and saying what you're doing is wrong that will help prevent you from falling in to horrible, horrible, disastrous relationships. What is it that we should desire? What is it that we should do? Is this something that God has given us? Yes. but it is not for all times and all places. And it is definitely not for those who are already married. It is definitely not for those who are out in the world, whose picture we see or whose words we read or whose TV show makes us excited. No, it is only something that we should save for marriage. It is interesting that Solomon had so much to say to his sons about the strange woman, considering how many wives, concubines, and others that he had. He knew the problem. They had stolen his heart away. How many times do we read, and his wives stole his heart away, or he built altars to their gods because his wives had stolen his heart away. It was over and over again. If anyone's life exemplifies what not to do, it's Solomon's. He followed after many women and they destroyed his life. His life could have been so much more. And he was wise. Again, men, don't think, oh, I've got it settled. I'm smart enough now not to get involved in that, or I'm not being tempted that way at the moment. Solomon was wise. He was smart. He was way smarter than you and way smarter than me. There's no other man like him in wisdom, and yet he was drawn away. His heart was turned over and over and over again. We must keep ourselves and keep ourselves for God. If we go back now to Job chapter 31, there's more in this chapter to describe for us what it is that we might fall into if we do not set up guards. Now, you may have noticed I haven't told you what guards to set. I haven't told you specifically what you should do. I've made some suggestions and some joking suggestions about things you might have to do to protect yourself. But that is because each one of us can be attacked in a different way. The devil doesn't have just one arrow in his quiver. He has many and many and many darts that he throws. The wicked one doesn't have one path. He has hundreds of paths, and all of them lead to destruction. It's also described as the wide path. There are many, 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 many ways for you to fail, and there is only one way to succeed with God. In Job chapter 31, if we jump down now to verse 9. If mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, and this verse is maybe a bit much for the young ones, so we will read it carefully here and maybe skip a few words. It says, then let my wife unto another, and let others bow upon her. For this is a heinous crime, yea, it is iniquity to be punished by judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction, and would root out all of mine increase. Job says, I would deserve everything that occurred to me if I had let mine heart be deceived by a woman or gone into my neighbor's wife. I would have deserved everything that came to me. Now remember Job. This is the man who lost all of his sheep, all of his camels. I'm getting them out of order now. He lost all of his children, and then he lost his health. And he was saying that would be a fitting punishment, and he would still deserve to go before the judges for this crime. He says it's a heinous crime. It's an evil, evil, disgusting crime. It's a crime that causes us to stink and to smell and to be just abhorrent. I don't know if you know someone like that, someone who you don't like being around for their smell and you're just like, ah, need to get you some perfume or something because you smell. You've been working too hard in the wrong places. Not that long ago, I worked in an abattoir for 7 months, and I would be covered head to toe in cow manure, well, from the insides, and blood, and all kinds of stuff. My wife didn't like it too much. She said I smelled. Even if I had 2 showers, I still smelled. Smelled awful, I guess. I don't know. I couldn't smell it after a couple of days. but this is that word. Heinous means gross and disgusting. Something that causes us to be upset, ready to throw up. It's gross. A heinous crime. One that everyone would agree is evil and wicked. And truly, even in the world, adultery is still looked upon as bad and wrong. And those who do commit adultery do it in the night. They do it in secret. They try and hide their tracks because they know it's not good, it's not righteous, it's not upright. Where has your heart gone? Has your heart been deceived? Has your heart gone after someone else other than your spouse? If so, then we need fixing. Now, we saw this morning that God can deliver from even the greatest and most wicked. Will it impact our lives forever if we have fallen into these sins of desire? Yes. And there will be some bad results. But God can bring us back to Himself. He can rescue us. He can deliver us. You say, but I've failed over and over and over and over again. I've tried this method and that method, and yet I still am twisted up by my own desires, and it feels like I cannot get victory. I say to you that God is great, terrible, and He is powerful, and with a strong arm He can take you and bring you to where you need to be. This is a very humbling message, for there is not one of us who stands here perfect, and I am in that same boat with you. I cannot say I am perfect. I have never looked on, thought of anything other than I ought to have. I have controlled myself perfectly. David cried out, Lord, forgive me of the sins of my youth. And all of us must do that. I want us now to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're rolling through this very slowly, and it is very difficult, but we need to have an appropriate response. These things are things that must be talked about as being evil. Otherwise, everyone will assume that they are good and that we are justified in doing them. First Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading in verse 8. Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, that neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. We have here a very difficult list to read through. All of us fit in there at some point. Don't be deceived. And then how many of these were sexual or lustful things that are mentioned? Fornication, adultery, abusers of themselves with mankind, etc. That's a big part of this list. Don't be deceived. These things will trip up any human. We're all in this together, saying these things are evil. And in verse 11, we have this encouraging statement by Paul. And such were some of you. But. And that word but is a wonderful word. It gives us so much hope. Such were some of you, but. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We are washed. That is a wonderful statement. That means the sins have been carried away. They are cleansed. They are scrubbed out. How many other ways can we describe this? Those sins that were listed, not just sins in general, but those ones that were listed, they are scrubbed out. If we have come to Jesus, He has scrubbed out those sins in our life. He has wiped them away. He has washed them. And then Paul says, ye are justified. Oh, sorry, sanctified. That word sanctified means to be made holy. I like the fact that it says, but ye are sanctified. I'm not sure all of us live sanctified or as sanctified as we can, but it's a word in progress. It's an action word, sanctified. It's not that we have attained holiness and we could not become more sinlessly perfect than we are now. That's not taught in Scripture. No, sanctified is that we are continually combating evil and sin and we are winning victory. When there's a setback, then the next day we get up and God's mercies is renewed every day and we confess our faults to God and we obtain the victory. It is a process of sanctification every day. Every day the option to do wrong comes to us and every day we can have victory through Christ. We are sanctified. It is a process and it is something that we are walking in. We are no longer named fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, etc. That is no longer the main way of describing us. Instead, we are described as being those who inherit the kingdom of God. Being those who are washed in the blood. Being those who name the name of the Lord Jesus. That can become our main description. One who loves and serves God. Finally, he says, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is not because you and I can somehow work up enough strength and turn over enough leaves and take enough actions to make ourselves holy. You can cut off so many things and become dead seemingly on the outside, and yet your mind and your heart will keep going and turning towards evil. No, we are justified. We are declared righteous. We are on the law books of God, name written down in heaven, because it is the name of the Lord Jesus, and it is His Spirit which works in us. We can have victory in sexual sins in our life. We can live towards God and not towards fulfilling our own desires. We have to skip down in this passage a few verses because then he deals with meats, and that was an issue they were dealing with at that time. But then we go to verse 15 and he says this, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid." And we could say, we are to have the mind of Christ. Are you going to take the mind of Christ and fill it alongside all kinds of abhorrent, evil, heinous things? Are you going to fill it with all kinds of visions and pictures that are full of wickedness? The two cannot be joined. You cannot have a love for God and be controlled by your fleshly desires. You cannot serve God wholeheartedly and chase after the members of the opposite gender. You can't do it. You can't. If your heart is not pure towards God, then you will be a servant to one master, and it's not going to be Jesus. He continues on in verse 16 and says, "What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For the two, saith he, that is God, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one in spirit." We need to be careful because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us if we know Jesus as Savior, and we cannot hold God and our own desires going every direction except for in God's plan at the same time. If we try, we will destroy our walk with God. Paul finishes up this chapter by saying, "Flee fornication." This is pointing back to the great example of Joseph, who, though he was being propositioned by someone who had an authority over his life and someone who wanted him, yet he ran. He fled. We could preach a whole sermon on that. Run, young man, run. Run the other direction. Until it's the right time and place, do not be caught. He says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without his body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." And it's even more so when you think about pornography. If you are doing something with your body, you might be able to distance yourself from it. But when you are doing something in your mind, there's no escaping it. It follows you. It sticks there. It poisons your every thought. It is definitely inside. Our body is the temple of God. This does not mean that we need to offer sacrifices, nor that we should treat our body in a particular way, but rather it means that our body needs to be dedicated to God and God alone. And God's plan is for one man and one woman to get together and be married. And that's it. Not splitting up and going off with multiple partners, not tempting one or the other. It is to be together. And that's what Paul talks about in chapter 7, and that's something for you to read up on your own, because we are running to the end of tonight's message. Why look on a maid, young man? Guard your heart. Flee fornication. You cannot hold to God and to your fleshly lusts at the same time. Take care and protect yourself. Pluck out your eye if you need to. And if you think that you might be a stumbling block to someone else, take care. Don't flaunt what you have so that you can attract someone who isn't your spouse, but take care not to cause someone else to stumble. This is not to put all of the pressure onto the women, for men's sins, nor to make it the man's fault that the lady's heart's drawn away. But each of us should so care not only about our own soul's walk with God, but everyone else's, that we are chaste and careful about how we present ourselves, that we do not make ourselves an object of desire for someone else who isn't our spouse. That's what it comes down to. We do not want to be a stumbling block. And so, to finish off, going back to Job chapter 31 and verse 1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Make a covenant with your eyes, young man. And young woman, protect what you are reading and listening to, because those are the ways you most often get tricked up. Be careful who you're listening to. Don't let the sweet talking take your heart away. Guard your heart. Protect yourself. Otherwise, you will be worthy of all of the punishments that Job faced that weren't punishments for him, but they'd be punishments for you and justly deserved. Your life will be completely destroyed, and rightly so. Make a covenant with your heart tonight. Make a covenant with your eyes. And be careful. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you that your word deals with every subject that we face and deals with everything that comes across our path. And Lord, we thank you that you know our hearts. You know the failings that we are easily tripped into, and you know those sins that do so easily beset us. Father, we ask that you would give us your strength, that we might be sanctified day by day, that we would not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and that our hearts would not be unequally yoked in desire towards you and in desire of lust. Father, we ask that you would give us wisdom, and Lord, that you would help each one of us to seek the help we need in order to protect ourselves fully. And Lord, I ask that you would be glorified through us, and that people would see us and say, why do you live the way you live? And we say, because we serve you, O Lord and God. Father, we ask that you bless us in this week for Jesus' sake. Amen.